We were talking about control of the cell cycle. This is another aspect of it in slide 17. Once again, we have isolated cells, this time from an epithelium, epithelia form coverings, multicellular membranes. And there is this notion of anchorage dependence, which means not only do some cells have to have the right chemical signal in order to spur them into cell division, but some of them have anchorage dependence, which means the cells have to also realize that they are attached to a surface in order to be able to divide. In other words, if you'd kept these cells just in a liquid suspension and gave them the nutrients they need to stay alive, they would not die, but they wouldn't start creating new cells. They wouldn't divide. On the other hand, if you put them onto a surface, then they will start dividing, and that, of course, will create new cells which fill up the space. And eventually, there won't be any space. All the cells will be touching each other, and that brings on what is called density-dependent inhibition. So when they sense that there is no more space because it's cells all the way around them, then that turns them off. You know, this is how wounds heal. If you cut your skin, it leaves a hole in the epithelium, and the cells that survive are spurred into dividing to create new cells that will heal it, but only until they grow together, and then it stops. It's important to know when to stop, in other words. So, you know, if you density-dependent inhibition will turn them off when they fill it up, but if you scoop some more out, then just these cells that realize that space is there will create new cells until it's filled. That's how it normally works. Well, control of the cell cycle requires various kinds of proteins, and proteins, in general, are coded for by genes, as we've talked about a little bit so far. And any protein that is involved in controlling the cell cycle is important for control of that cell cycle, obviously. And therefore, if something goes wrong and you don't have that protein, or you make a protein that doesn't work correctly, then control of the cell cycle can be lost. That's what cancer is. For instance, if cells have a mutation in their DNA, cancer is a genetic disorder, meaning it's a disorder of the DNA. Genetic doesn't mean that it's necessarily that it's inheritable. It just means that it's something wrong with the DNA. Well, if you mutation is a change in DNA. If you mutate a gene that codes for one of these proteins that are involved in control of the cell cycle, then you can lose control of the cell cycle. So these cells, for instance, have undergone a mutation that results in the cells losing their density-dependent inhibition. So they don't realize the spaces have already been filled. They don't realize they're supposed to turn off their cell division, and they continue to proliferate by dividing more and more. That's what leads to a tumor. And it starts with one defective cell. Cancer is actually happening in our bodies all the time, but we have mechanisms to actually detect the cancer and kill those cells. But this is why cancer is gets more prevalent the older people get, because there's more of a chance for the DNA in the cells of the body, since it's been exposed to things for longer, to go bad and start one cell. All it takes is one cell to not realize it's not supposed to divide. So it will divide, and when it divides, it of course makes two exact copies of itself. So both of those cells are now defective. Neither one of them will realize they're not supposed to divide, so they'll continue to divide, and that's why cancer grows. The final slide, I think, is 18. And this is using breast cancer, but the same thing could be true for any kind of cancer. When that one cell, which of course is undetectable, it's just a single invisible cell, goes bad, eventually you'll have a bunch of cells. That's the start of a tumor, but eventually it will get big enough that you notice. This is why early detection is so important. You want to get rid of all of these cells that are defective, and that the best chance you have is when there aren't very many of them. The tumor itself, at first, doesn't really cause any problems. But the bigger it gets, the more it starts interfering with the normal, healthy cells that are around it trying to do their normal job. And so that can cause problems in whatever organ that occurs in. But also, the bigger the tumor gets, the more likely it is that one of those identical copies, one of those cells of the tumor, since there's more of them now, will just randomly break off of the tumor, get in the bloodstream or the lymph, which moves around, fluids that move around in the body, and then take up residence in some other organ and then start growing a new tumor there. That is called metastasis. That's when we say that the cancer has gone metastatic. And then that is much more serious because now you're trying to chase a lot of tumors and deal with them. And there's ways of dealing with tumors, but they have side effects, whatever way you deal with it. Okay, that is that chapter. Quick recording for that.